Yesterday was an absolutely terrible day for the Jewish people. It was a horrific day. I don't remember a day that that was hard. At least for me, it was hard. It was terrible. It was terrible on many, many levels. And we're going to focus on at least one of them, or a couple of them, this morning. But I think it's important to be aware of that. I think that the world, one way of saying it, the world is actually different now than the world was yesterday morning. That yesterday morning there were people that walked this earth. There were people that were alive that represented and brought a certain kind of Kedusha down into this earth, and they are not here anymore. There were obviously a lot of individual tragedies yesterday, but there were, and we'll speak briefly, there were three figures that passed away, three Levayas yesterday that were of people who were truly, truly holy, and our world is different as a result. Our world is different as a result. I'm not going to speak about the nature of the Levayas other than in for about one of them, but I do want to be able to frame our discussion in the following way. These are three figures that I hope we knew about before yesterday, and if not, hopefully we can at least understand and process and relate to them now. I want to base everything I say on a Gemara in Maseches Yuma. The Gemara tells us in Yuma that there are certain historical figures in Klal Yisrael that prevent people from giving excuses. Hillel, the Gemara says in Yuma, most famously, was mechayiv es ha'aniyim, people that were too poor, people that were unable to get by financially, so they could have had a good excuse why they weren't as able to be successful in Torah, but the Gemara tells us that Hillel's mechayiv es ha'aniyim. Hillel, by virtue of his commitment, famous story, you know, climbing up on the rooftop because he couldn't afford the entrance fee into the Beis Medrash, he couldn't pay tuition, frozen over, Hillel's commitment was Mechayiv es Ha'aniyim. Rabbi Elazar ben Charsum is Mechayiv es Ha'ashirim, Yosef is Mechayiv the Rishayim. There are people sometimes who are Mechayiv us. I want to speak about three figures and briefly, but just ways in which they are Mechayiv us. We're going to speak about David Soloveitchik, we're going to speak about Rabbi Yitzchak Shiner, we're going to speak about Rabbi Abraham J. Twersky. Each one in a way in which Ladati, in my own, again, I think my take, that they are Mechayiv us, that they represent something that is important, that they represent legacies which matter and matter to us, and in ways which can move us, and in ways in which we should realize, you know, again, the world is different today. The world is very, very different today than it was yesterday morning. So let's try and do our best. Reb David Soloveitchik, with the possible exception of Rabbi Abraham J. Twersky, they could compete for the two most illustrious family trees. The Soloveitchiks, the Twerskys, there's a lot of greatness that comes before them. Reb David Soloveitchik was one of the great guardians of that Mesorah which comes through the realm, through the world of Brisk. He was a Rebbe to thousands. He was a person who, like his father, the Brisker Rav, his grandfather, Reb Chaim, he was a person that taught Torah in a very serious way. Most of his Iker contributions, that at least are published, are in the realm of Kachim. And in a certain sense, his influence is very real. One of the reasons why his influence is real, at least Ladati, I haven't heard anyone make this Ha'ara yet, but I imagine someone will, unless somehow I'm off on something. But David Soloveitchik, I think, did more than Kimat anyone, with the exception probably of the Rav in a very different way, for revealing to the world elements of the Mesorah of Brisk. Brisk is a scene in general which is very nervous to publish Sfarim. It's a scene which likes to keep many of their own hanhagas, of their own practices, somewhat secret. It's not a scene which is about publishing always what you do. You know, they're not tweeting every time they have a chumrah, not posting a picture on Instagram of them holding seven different esrogim. It's not the way that they work. It's done with a certain sense of tznius at times. Reb David Soloveitchik, in a couple of very significant ways, opened up elements of the Mesorah of Brisk for those of us that are not privy to have learned in his yeshiva, those of us that are not privy to have learned in that scene in particular in Yerushalayim, and that's done in two ways. Firstly, there are Sfarim he put out on Kachim. When we learned Erchin a couple of Kayitzmans ago, we spoke a good deal about Reb David Soloveitchik, with Meshulam David Soloveitchik, his shiurim in Inyanei Kachim. building on things the Brisker Rav said. We have the Brisker Rav's Torah there, but building on it, new additional pieces, things that maybe we don't have from somewhere else that we have from the Brisker Rav. And he opened up a way of learning, in particular, some of those mesechtas that are not as standardly learned. And he is a person that when he wrote on certain topics, it really matters. It really matters the way that he did. He also has a Talmud that put out, I believe, many ways influenced by and under the direction of Rav David Soloveitchik, a set of svarim called Uvdos van Hagos LeBeis Brisk, a biography of Rav Chaim Brisker, a variety of other svarim that tell us some of those practices and some of the maisas that took place in the world of Brisk. Brisk is very exact in the way that they function, very precise in the way they tell over stories and tell over anecdotes, and to have access to those told over in the way that Rav David thought they should be told over, it opens up for us a certain kind of world, a certain kind of world. Who is Rav David Soloveitchik Mechayev? I believe it's very simple. There are a lot of people that are given opportunities and access in their lives. There are a lot of people that are blessed with wonderful families. Some of us in the realm of Torah, some of us in other ways also. And for Rav David Soloveitchik, part of what he was a person that understood that even though he was blessed with a particular Mesorah, that was Mechayev him to share that Mesorah with others, to teach Talmidim, to put out Sfarim, to spread the world of Brisk to those outside. 90-something years, you know, the world was blessed to have him here. Many decades of Harbatzas HaTorah, which is, I have a Mesorah, but I want to share it. He's Mechayev those of us that are given certain opportunities. He had some real struggles in his life also, but he lost family members, but there's an ability to understand that opportunities that we get are opportunities that should be shared, and opportunities that we have are opportunities that's worthwhile to be able to give over to others also. It's an amazing Mechayev, the Mechayev of Rav David Soloveitchik. Ritzah Chana was Rashiva of Kamenetz. I imagine some of you, I hope, were able to read a bit about his life. Whatever you think about Rav Nassim Tzvi and some of the inspiring stories about Nassim Tzvi, so they're true in many ways, achas kam v'kama, with him. He was 98 years old or so, I believe, when he passed away. The Rashiva of Kamenetz here in Yerushalayim. He was a person who was on the Mo'etes Gedoli HaTorah, one of the real giants, a person also engaged in many ways in Batzat Torah. Some of us know also his life story, which is very atypical for a Yerushalmi, for a major gadol in Yerushalayim. He was born in Pittsburgh and went to public school. He was a person that was not brought up with the kind of opportunities that we would have expected. I believe the way that he told over the mice, I hope I say it over correctly, Rabbi Bender from Darchei Torah in the Five Towns, his grandfather was going around collecting money for Torah Vadas, ended up making his way through Pittsburgh. And some of the great Meshulachim, when they're going around to collect money, he wasn't only looking for money, he was looking for, he saw in Shama sometimes. And he was able to prevail upon Rabbi Shiner's parents. He was not so young at this point, I don't know, 16 I think or so. He was able to convince his parents to allow him to come. He went and he learned in New York. He learned in Torah Vadas, was a big Talmud of Rabbi Shlomo Hyman. He eventually made it, I think he spent a semester in the University of Pittsburgh, I think, so many decades ago. He was a person that did not have, I think he said, on the one hand, I think he said his parents were not familiar with what a yeshiva even really was. They knew about it from Europe, but a yeshiva in America, they weren't even familiar when the idea first came up. He himself said over what's a famous Torah from the Chazon Ish. He said, you know, the Chazon Ish used to say that how could it be that there are Jews who are disconnected, Jews that are far away, and generations later, you know, their descendants come back to Yiddishkeit. How is that possible? How is that really done? And Chazon Ish used to say that the tears that a mother lets out at Shas Hadlakas Neiros, that when a mother sometimes, as a tefillah, when she lights Neiros Shabbos, so, and she davens for her kids, so sometimes we don't see the fruit of those prayers. It takes a couple generations, and a couple generations later, so then we're able to see the true greatness, which was really apparent, what was actually possible, and who was actually out there. And in many ways, he said, my mother, I think the quote was, like rivers coming from her eyes that I be zocha to be from. He said about himself, you know, he felt this indescribable sense of hashgacha pratis, the Ribono Shel Olam calling shots for him to get to where he got, for him to become who he became. He said, you know, the Gemara tells us that the Ribono Shel Olam is mezaveg zivugim. He married a granddaughter of Rav Baruch Ber, the Birka Shmuel. That's rabbinic aristocracy. That's great. He was a simple kid who was born in Pittsburgh, I think. He's born in Pittsburgh. 3 years later, his future wife is born in Vilna as a granddaughter of Rav Baruch Ber. But their Bona Sholom's Mezavei Zivugim, and their Bona Sholom would eventually bring them together. And he would eventually move to Eretz Yisrael. He would learn in Eretz Yisrael with other Gedolei Torah and be able to be Marbitz Torah to thousands of Talmidim. He did so in a very, very impressive way, in a responsible way. He, like David Salvajic and Rav Yitzchak Tvorsky, all had COVID. He was older, passed away. So he was very, very careful, vaccinated. He was a very impressive Talmid Chacham, and he's Mechayev, I think, in many ways, the opposite of Rav David Salvajic. He's Mechayev every person that says that their background puts limits on what they could do. He's Mechayev every person that says that if I didn't start learning seriously until age X, that means that there's now a ceiling that I can't move beyond. He's Mechayev all of us that feel in a certain sense that, which again, we all have, I think, elements of David Salvajic and elements of China. We all have elements of these things in us in different ways. And those of us that feel like sometimes maybe we don't have the same opportunities as someone did. Oh, even though we do have those opportunities, but if you feel that way a little bit, it's an excuse which can, you know, crop into a person's mind sometimes. I remember having someone in Shear once who went to a high school where they had much less learning in high school, not one that any of you went to, who, you know, had to struggle with that, like, chip on his shoulder for a while, like, not having those opportunities. There's a mechayev for that also. There's a mechayev for a person that picks up a little bit later in life, and you can become Echad Migadolei HaDor in Eretz Yisrael. It's a very, very chashev, a very, very chashev thing. Certainly for our yeshiva, we had a much as we've quoted the Torah at minimum of Rabbi Salvajic over the years, Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Tversky is a person that, for, I think, decades, spoke in our yeshiva. He spoke on behalf of our yeshiva for years on Hoshana Rabbah night in the Great Synagogue in Yerushalayim. He would have hundreds of people would come to hear him. He was very close to the Hornsteins. The Hornsteins were the people that dedicated in honor of their son, Mati Hornstein. He would give a tshuva talk every single year as well. And he was an amazingly, amazingly fascinating figure. Indescribably chashev yichus, similar to David Salvajic, the Bubva Rebbe on one side, the Maori Naim, the world of Chernobyl, his father's a Rebbe, his brother, a person which is like the square Rebbe, he has connections throughout the world of Chassidus. Interestingly enough, despite that, he's also a public school kid. He's also a public school kid in Milwaukee. Some beautiful stories going around. A dear and old friend, Menachem Butler, sent on Twitter, if anyone saw this, an email from Rabbi Tversky about being in a Christmas play when he was a kid and some powerful things about that. He was a Chassidish kid, a Chassidish person who did not, on the one hand, had this unfathomable connection to the Mesorah he came from, the world of Chassidus, so many Sfarim he wrote about Chassidus, so many Sfarim, and also a person that did not need to fit into a box at all. Marquette University Medical School, a psychiatrist. He was a person that did more for drug addiction, founded an institute, or at least was head of an institute for years, addiction, spousal abuse. He was a person that had exposure to the greatest of our society and was very, very comfortable taking care of and being with the most vulnerable of our society, those who struggle the most, and he was able to do so. He was a prolific author, 50, 60 more books that he wrote, books of classical Torah. I remember when I was in high school, his commentary on Mesillas Yesharim was next to my bed for a while. It was just before I would go to sleep at night. It was a beautiful, wonderful sefer, as are so many of his. He wrote books on, you know, Peanuts comics, if you're into that a little bit. I've had a relationship with the author. He really was a unique figure. And he wrote a lot. He said about himself, he hasn't written 50 or 60 books. He's written one book 50 or 60 ways. And almost all of his books relate to the sugya of self-esteem. And that's true whether he's speaking about addiction, whether he's speaking about classical Talmud Torah. The world, that world of self-esteem, he was a believer, is so important, and he spoke, and this is what's so powerful about him, despite being so chashev or so great, or perhaps because he was so chashev and so great, he was very comfortable writing about and speaking about his own struggles with self-esteem. He's a person that was able to, sometimes great people, we don't gain access to who they really were. Sometimes great people don't open up a little bit about, you know, what their struggles are, and Rabbi Twersky did. He wrote an article, I think, you know, a couple of years ago in Hamodia, about the well is dry, writing about the challenge of no longer, from his perspective, there was pushback and he continued, but from his perspective, having a karas atov through Ribono Shel Olam for that which he was able to do in this world, but feeling like it's just the well is dry and he can't produce anymore. And he has a hard time finding the right words, and a hard time finding in Sfarim what he's looking for, and having a bit of a, and making himself vulnerable. He wrote a book when he turned 80, about that transition. It was autobiographical. He gave us insight. He gave us insight. An intellectual giant with what a soul and what a neshama. What a neshama. What an achrayus for others. If you haven't seen it yet, the only Levi I'm going to speak about, if you haven't seen it yet, you really should look at a video from his Levaya. Rabbi Abraham Twersky, aside from being a prolific author, a mental health professional of the highest tier, a person that took care and inspired so many, he wrote one of the more famous songs in Klal Yisrael, Hoshia Es Amecha. Not the words, but the niggun that is sung through Chabad. It's sung, the Rebbe loved this song. It is sung, if you go to Kimat any shul, that I'm aware of on Simchas Torah, you're going to hear people singing like, you know, Hoshia Es Amecha with Rabbi Abraham J. Twersky's niggun. He requested at his Levaya that they not give any Hespedim. He requested that the only thing they do is they sing that song, positive and upbeat, of Hoshia Es Amecha. He explained to a family member that was for a very simple reason. He said, I don't know if I've accomplished anything in this, I don't know if I've done Maisim Tovim in this world at all, in my 90 years. But I do know that that song brought some joy to some Jews. And if you look at the Levaya, it is so emotional and so powerful to see them carrying his body, singing Hoshia Es Amecha. It's remarkable, as my brothers have said to me this morning, that one of the great intellects, a person with so many Sfarim, in the end of the day, there was a powerful neshama that was there. And the way he wanted to go out was with the niggun. A very powerful soul, a very special person that was able to be there. Remarkable, truly remarkable. And the person that, the way I would say, was he came from a great background and he was comfortable being out of the box a little bit. Came from a great background and comfortable being out of the box. He's mechayiv us to appreciate where we come from and to be open to new things. To appreciate where we come from and to be open for new ideas. He really didn't care that much about what everyone was going to be saying about him. That's part of the reason why you can survive without Hespedim if you're not as concerned what other people are going to be saying about you. You know, speaking at conferences, wearing like a Charlie Brown tie, you know, with a long white beard and a long coat, you know, being able to do that in such a special way, a person who's never embarrassed about where he came from. Rabbi Wein tells a story over, my brother told me this morning, it's a little bit of a famous story. Rabbi Wein was once in the car with Rabbi Twersky. It's a cute maisa. And there were two other people in the car. One, I think, Chassid Sharav, primarily like Yiddish speaking. The other, a different Rosh Hashiva. And I believe the way the maisa goes, I'm sorry if I mess it up a little bit. Rabbi Twersky liked to joke around with people a little bit. So he turned to Rabbi Wein. He said, you know, Rabbi Wein, you and I, we're educated. We both went to public school. We both went to public school. And one of the Rosh Yeshiva then turned around and said, you think only you went to public school? Again, this is a long time ago. It was American Jewry of the early 20th century. He said, I also went to public school. And the Chassid Sharav turns around in Yiddish and says, what, you think only you? I also went to public school. And Rabbi Twersky said to them as a joke, he said, if you went to public school, I want to hear you all sing Silent Night. I want to know if you really went to public school or not. And the four of them had a little bit of a niggun of singing Silent Night together in that cab ride. Cab driver having no idea what to do, you know, what was going on. At least one of the ways the story is, you know, is being told over. It's a beautiful, beautiful story about where a person can come from and where a person can go, about comfortability, going out of the box a little bit, about wisdom. He was a wise person who did unfathomable chasadim for people. He saved people's lives, you know, in a very real way. He's mechayev us to appreciate where we came from and to be open to new things also, and to be open to new ideas. The world we opened up with, the world is different today. The world is just different. There's less kedusha, there's less holiness. COVID is taking some of the wonderful ones. It's taking really some of the Klal Yisrael. At some point, this is going to end, and we're going to take stock of what we lost. And we're going to, Zalman Nechemia's wife passed away. He passed away about 6 months ago. Wife passed away this past week, I think, from COVID. The world is not great at all. The world is not great at all. Rav Yaakovson always says, when a person passes away, that it becomes, he used to always emphasize this point, that it's based on the Gemara Masechta Shabbos, that when a person passes away, so it becomes our achrayus to fill their void. None of us are going to be any of these three people. These are people that were unique, and our job is to be unique also. And our job is to do what we can to appreciate Mesora, to appreciate what we have and share with others, to never let history define or impact our future, and to be able to appreciate where we come from, but to be open about where we could go. The world, this has been it was a terrible day. I don't remember being that sad for Klal Yisrael as last night on a lot of levels. It was terrible. And Be'ez Hashem, you know, if there's been this, if we've waited a little bit to go back into tshuva mode, if we waited a little bit to go back into, we have to repent and we have to daven, it's Nes Tzara, we have to do what we can. So I'll just clarify for you right now, that's where we're at. If there are a lot of question marks, what's going to happen going forward, and the world is not where we want the world to be, and certainly a major part of our achrayus is to be able to daven and to tshuva, that we be able to not suffer the way that we have, and that we can, Be'ez Hashem, rejoice in very, very meaningful ways going forward despite all of these challenges.